from the Department of Public Works. However, the other entities do not have funds for commissions. And by the way, the IDP, CID, and CB do not have any additional funds for commissions. You can then move to this briefing document. And I would like to start with Secretary Glenda some background. For the first part, I'm going to spend a few on the Department of Public Works and the training agency, which is called the PNP. It's important for members to understand the relationship between the department and the property management. What happened is that many years ago, all the business of the department was done in the department itself. Then in 2006, a decision was taken to strip off the part of this business and put it into the training. That part of the business mainly relates to the provision of accommodation, capital improvement to the current state property, and also the payment of property rights. A vehicle was then created which was called the Property Management Trading Entity, which is a trading entity under the administration of the department, but yet a separate trading entity to look at the financial statements. For a couple of years then, and I'll show you later on the table, for a couple of years then, there were some significant issues in the training entity which led to the status of opinion. The status of opinion means that there was a general record of special opinion on this financial status of any status or not. What has happened is that because of the interventions from the department, significant changes were made in this trading entity. One of those significant changes which took place is that the in-group of assets portfolio was then also moved from the department into the trading entity. And this move took place in the 13th quarter of financial year, which we are actually dealing with now. It is very important that this portfolio has moved into this trading entity because the capital improvements belong to this trading entity. So it's immediately we had a challenge. The property was in the department, and the entity who dealt with the property was another entity. Therefore, the crucial move that the immovable assets had to be moved into the property management trading entity. Together with this, the trading entity now has to comply with the generally recognized accounting practice. Now, these standards are very strict in terms of specific requirements of the union. Assets, liabilities, and revenue, for instance. But there's a directive which is called directive 2. This directive gives the entity some leeway in terms of dealing with certain accounting issues that is new to the entity. For instance, in this case, we have to use the law earlier from the department, which is a new entity. That directive determines that the entity has for 3 years, for instance, to get to the correct value. So if you look at the financial statements of the department, you will see that they actually have disclosed in the financial statements that they used the records to define the financial statements. From audit point of view, you would not necessarily qualify that because it's allowed in terms of the directive, but it's important to understand that significant work needs to be done to get to the point where the accuracy and all the problems in that. So if you come to look at the fee in the financial statements, the value of the immovable assets, that value will not be accurate at this point, but it is allowed in terms of the value. The second important thing to note is that there is a significant increase in the irregular expenditure in the property management statement. If you look at particularly in the financial statements, you will see that the closing balance of the irregular expenditure is about 34 million. I need to explain to you why that amount is so high. Because previously, just under 4 billion rand, but we have qualified with the service of the regular expenditure since the 19 financial plan. So, part of the statement in the previous year, where we said we are not comfortable that all the irregular expenditure right here is covered in the financial plan. The department made in the 13 or 14 year went back didn't exercise the work to all transactions from 19 up until 2020 to identify possible investments. And in that process, about 31 billion has been exercised. Now, once again, it's very important also to understand that the quality management trading entity enters into the lease agreement of the offer has been done. So that's a great part of the event relationship to the lease agreement. The other part of the event is to capital improvements and speech process. That is why, if you look at the actual experience of the department, it's significant and process. That's what we're supposed to do to take those functions from the offer government. There was also a decision taken in agreement by National Treasury that all the key data that's going to must be the disclosed the problem management company and not in the various units of the property. And the reason for that is that the property management trading entity controls the whole process of supply chain costs, controls the whole set of appointing the contractor, and controls the whole process over the actual execution of the capital project or entering it into a It's also important to understand that when you look at the data that's placed here, you look at the 34 billion total or the 31 billion disclosed in the financial year, which relates to the previous years and the current year, it does not necessarily mean that there was no value received for the particular project. It's very important to know that in many cases, which clearly stems from the fact that the correct supply chain management process is unfortunate. In other words, a lease was potentially extended without following the right process, or a lease was entered into without going through a tender process, which is required, or in certain cases, the three quotations should have been obtained for a specific service that does need to be done. But the service could have been delivered and in most cases the service has been delivered. So one must be very careful when one analyzes the data that's been done, but one not merely conclude that there was no value received for the physical volume, but that there was any good disinvestment. Good disinvestment expenses is like separately, and that's covered from the rest of the business. I would like to take you to page 6. Page 6 of this briefing document is like an analysis of the history of this portfolio from the 19th financial year until the 13th financial year. If you look at the Department of Public Works, it has been moved from qualified and stainless to the yellow, which is financially unqualified. But there are issues on compliance with order and regulations, and there are issues on performance information. The property management trade entity has moved from a disclaimer to qualified, and the independent developer has moved from an unqualified to a qualified. The Council for Building, Drawing, and Construction Industry Development Board has remained the same. So for these entities, the last thing is to be a bit of focus on compliance of laws and regulations. And once that has been dealt with, these entities can actually move into what we call team orders. In other words, unqualified financing, no financial of performance information, and no financial of compliance with laws and regulations. I'm going to deal with the qualification area in the property management training entity, and then I will deal with the qualification areas in the property management trading entity, there's mainly three areas that were qualified. The first one relates to the external expenditure that I've already referred to. We could not obtain evidence that amount is within each state. So although it's a huge amount, we could not get evidence throughout the whole process that amount is actually in the state. There's also a principal issue that the property management trading entity has in Great Premier has complied with generally recognized accounting practice, meaning that the compliance financial statements in the approval process basically means that at year end, all business services which you have received that will get paid, you should also bring those expenses in. So if there are irregular expenses incurred for goods and services that you have not yet paid for, and you receive the goods and services, that irregular expenses should also be accounted for as part of your irregular expenses that the discussion has. And the department did not apply that principle, which is a very important principle to apply. So the evaluation on irregular expenses relates to areas to summarize. One is that the full principle has not been implemented, which means that if you care to get that, the people might increase the still a little bit. And the second is that you could not in all instances get evidence to determine whether that is now the second area of qualification relates to the lease portfolio. I indicated earlier on that the main business of the property management trading entity is the lease portfolio. In essence, what it means is that the property management trading entity leases properties from private sector and it's not leasing it to user departments. What we've done is that the systems of the departments are not adequate in that information that is on the TMIS system is not accurate. It has always typed up the body in the lease agreement. And then the department implemented a manual system. And you need to compare that manual system with the body in the lease agreement become the lease. So it relates to that the amount determined in the lease agreement to be paid for the lease doesn't always agree with what was paid and what was in the system or what was in the manual system. This then impacts various balances in the financial statements. It means that if you look at the financial statements, the department has reported some overpayments and it also has reported some underpayments. So in certain cases, the department disclosing amounts where the landlord has overpaid and those amounts have been recovered, in other cases the landlords have been underpaid. However, when we bring the audit going back to the lease agreement, we still found the difference between what was in the lease agreement and what was actually paid or what was put on the financial statements as owed to or owed by. That is the easiest way to explain the issues around the lease portfolio. There's a couple of thousands of information that the lease portfolio is doing in this environment. The third area of qualification relates to accruals, your normal accruals at year end. What goods and services have I received and which I've not paid for? All of this will actually be listed. You should have a system to identify those payments at year end because you need to bring that into your accruals. And what you found is that the system used by the department in determining those accruals are not adequate and important accruals were not determined. If you look at page 7 of this document, what I've just discussed with you started on page 7 in the document and for page 9 of the document. And what's important to understand is the root causes that resulted in this qualification area. So when you look at the data expenditure, the root cause mainly relates to the fact that other supply chain management processes are not already followed by the department, which results in irregular expenditure. When you have irregular expenditure, you need a robust system to identify that irregular expenditure, because you need to disclose that irregular expenditure. But it's very important also to note that a lot of
That's all there.
that you mentioned, changes made on the financial system which was not properly controlled. And not enough controls when tenders are issued. The recommendation can mainly focus on ensuring that we have a new system, that the new system agrees with your new policy, because that's very important. Because it's important that the system should be able to acknowledge and determine, for instance, at what stage you sacrifice the interest of all the way, no longer refuse to use the system to be able to cater for that. Very important. To do monthly reconciliations between your tenders issues and the revenue that you derive from the tenders that you issue. Very important to do month-to-month reconciliations on the project accounts between how much money you have spent on the project, what is the land value of the advances that you receive, how much that the IDP still owed, On page 10, it basically gives you an overview if you look at the key focus areas and you will see that supply chain management comes out very strongly, and you will see that quality of financial statements comes out very strongly. You will see that all five entities have to make material adjustments to their financial statements after that to have them. Now this relates into employment issues being today, because the requirements of the EFI that when you submit your financial statements for auditing, the 31st of May, that should be accurate. So we do allow entities to make reasonable adjustments without the audit process, but if those adjustments are material, we report on the non-compliant because you have to make material adjustments. But in many cases, you can actually then change your audit outcome to a more positive audit outcome. So very important that all the entities in this portfolio must focus ensuring that the financial statements are accurate and complete. Before I'm going to move over and discuss with you in broad terms the supply chain management and other employment issues, I'm going to hand over to you to take you through the predetermined objective finding on the Department of Public Works. Now, just to remind the committee again that in this whole portfolio, the only entity that has findings on information is the Department of Public Works. So the other entities do not need specific notice.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. One of the objectives of our report is that on the full information that the Department of Public Works, the main issue that we've had is the high reliability of the actual reported performance on the expanded public works program. As you know, that it was a critical program that the project is implementing and speaks to the national objective of qualification. So the problem was that when we went to all of these actual implementing bodies, which is the municipalities, for example, the NGOs, when these DWP projects are being implemented, actually we did not find enough information there to verify what the department was saying they achieved. In other words, if they think, created things, or the specific beneficiary worked for 10 days on the project, that's how much the person was paid. There was a lack of supporting evidence to substantiate the performance that was being reported. So in other words, then that led to our qualification statistic of more material significant findings on the EWP program. The recommendation for that specific that the department was focused on implementing a system where they actually decide which standard records must be kept by the intervening body. So at the end of the day, when it comes to time auditing, that all the standard documentation and records are available. The other quite important recommendation that we did make to the department is that the internal audit function should look at the performance and the substantiated reporting documentation on the EWP as well as the system primarily to make sure that some of the next hearing we would not look for the same findings in the EWP. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to start to make the presentation on supply chain management also as easy as possible. You will see in the document on the adjudicated under the AD entity, whether the finding relates to DPW, Department of Public Works, PND, Office of Management, entity, IDT, or CIDD. I'm going to summarize for you. So if you want to engage with a specific entity that is non-compliant, it is clearly articulated there which entity incurred non-compliance in a specific area. But I want to just highlight the focus again. Mainly, the non-compliance in this portfolio relates to supply chain management, research management, and policy. So the key focus should be on concerning that entity's foreign supply chain management. One of the key root causes, and really perhaps the focus on the PMT, one of the key root causes sometimes for interesting new regular expenditure is planning, no proper planning. Section is underrated to deliver something because of a proper planning process not being followed. It's not enough time, you need to go out for tender, put the tender around for 21 days, evaluate the tender, and then award the tender. And then sometimes supply chain management processes are not followed as required. So proper planning can make this significant difference in compliance with the supply chain management. The other one is consequence management. And in cases with where the work translations, supply chain management processes were not followed, that it should be investigated to understand what is just a error or what is exigence and to determine whether any action should be taken. So if you talk to a person that I highlighted earlier on the four requirements of the DMA, one of those requirements would be that whenever any of the things have been incurred, that should be investigated. So the directive between non-compliance and supply chain management and new regular expenditure is that in most cases when you have not followed supply chain management, it results in irregular expenditure. But the definition in terms of DMA and irregular expenditure is when expenditure has been incurred and will prevent legislative processes and not be followed. Maybe just to highlight, and you will discuss it right from the beginning, between irregular expenditure and wasteful expenditure and household prices. Irregular expenditure is an expenditure which was incurred in contravention of legislation. It doesn't follow the right legislative processes. CFMA and the Constitution determine that whenever the government or government for years must follow the process which is fair, it is not transparent. So the moment you don't go out of deportation, or you do not go out of tender, then you should go out of tender to ensure that the business and process is important to get to the business. The definition of business in wasteful expenditure is expenditure which was incurred in time. Could that be the benefit of business or generality?
So in the context of this portfolio, and I'm going to show you the numbers at the back of the document, for instance, if a deep volume is standing empty, and no one will be occupying that volume, that cost for the length of that volume is not sufficient. Then you want to look at unauthorized expenditure. Unauthorized expenditure is one of two things. It's either the expenditure which an entity has incurred over and above what is allowed in terms of the budget. So you can put it to a budget either on the program level or the total, or if you incur the expenditure which is outside the purposes of the budget. In the case of this portfolio, you will note that at the back that there is some irregular unauthorized expenditure of about 6 million plus minus. And that relates to the school's budget. The volume of schools is not within the mandate of the National Department of Public Schools. So therefore, those supplements of the high school is being under the right project is outside the purpose of this on supply chain management. It's also important to note that as
depends upon them, but it doesn't necessarily mean that value has to be I'm going to let you move supply chain management, and I'm going to just quickly focus on human resource management. There was some human resource management findings in the Department of Public Works, which mainly deals with a human resource plan not being in place as required. Very important to have a human resource plan. Your human resource plan should talk to the requirements that you've got in the specific environment. Even for instance, like the public works requirement, and you focus more on the policy management right here, there will be very specific human resource needs in terms of that recommendation. And your human resource plan should determine those needs of any update in the human resource plan. You will need experts in the human environment, you will need experts in property management. Going forward, that is one of the key focus areas that a person should include in place to make sure that the property management training gets the right skills which to be able to actually execute the mission. And then funding related stuff, we're not supposed to go within 12 months, very important to acquire the public service regulations. And the appointments were made on some posts were actually not funded. The next section deals with information technology, and I'm going to try to summarize this also very shortly. When it comes to information technology, one should distinguish between controls that are not in place and might not have a direct impact on the outcome. For in other cases, IP-related systems can have an impact on the outcome. I've indicated to the committee earlier on that when one looks at the PMIS system, that's DMC. That system is not adequate, that system is not reliable, the information in that system is not reliable, and we have a qualification relating to these. It means that maintenance focus need to be put on that system. Either replacing it with another system, once you create the possibility that the system, the new system that the department is working on is called an IP work system. Very important to understand what is the intention of the IP work system, what are the different models that the system should be able to have. Should the focus only on asset management, should the focus not also be on these portfolios. It would be very important for the committee to understand how far the department is with the development of the IE work system, what is the ultimate intention of the IE work system, and how it will the system actually be running in function with the science. And that would be one of our recommendations. So there are other findings that one gets in the IT environment, and particularly in the documents, and we do raise once again the reasons why each entity is applied. Sometimes there's not enough controls with regard to user access. In other words, do systems, do I as loans have access? Am I only limited to the systems that I should have access to? Am I limited within those systems only to the level that I should have access to? Those are key controls that should be in any IT environment. If I design, I should also be designed for the system. I should not be active on the system. Maybe the cost of those changes, backups, requirements and what there should be, robust policies which should require all these controls. And for instance, if backups, it doesn't help that I make backups on a daily or weekly basis, but I need to make sure that backups actually will be stored. Because in case of a disaster, I should be able to restore it on another platform. It leads us to the controls with regard to disaster management. There should be a proper policy stipulating what should they need to do in the case of a disaster. There is one issue that focuses on the IET. If you will note, from the chairperson, that we noted some findings with regard to the firewalls The firewall is what protects you from the outside. Those controls would be robust, so that no one can get unauthorized access to your systems. So, first you should have the policies. Second thing, you should implement those policies successfully. And therefore, if you look at our recommendations right at the back, what we are saying is that in addition to our audit action plans, this audit action plan should cover all these areas we should discuss this morning. And from an oversight point of view, we recommend that the committee is put in interaction with the entities, ask for feedback on the implementation of this audit action plan, to get assurance that in fact these audit action plans have been implemented successfully, because we believe if the audit action plan are implemented successfully, it means that the day-to-day controls are in place, and that should be a positive for the government. The next section deals with the materials, happens to the financial management, and I've covered that earlier in my presentation, highlighting that the financial statement that is submitted for audits should be accurate and complete. It should not be any material adjustments needed to these financial statements, and if this material adjustment for these financial statements, that is reported as non-compliant. The other non-compliance on page 18 of the document, you will notice it's reported by the EEC that individual trade properties are not always listed at market value. So that portfolio which of immovable assets that the property management trade can have, whenever that is listed out to any outside party, it should be done at market value. Then also at the PNG on page 19, we report that the account officer did not take appropriate steps to collect all money due. The property management plan is a historic issue, and that for a number of years since its establishment, it did not have proper record keeping and follow up on the payment of the leases. That was mainly from the government users of those buildings. So the other user departments that were built for using the buildings. But because of the record keeping not being accurate and follow-up not being done robustly and regularly, the debt would increase and increase over the number of years. And it's a requirement of the legislation that an accounting officer should take action to cover the debt. Now in this context, it now becomes challenging because fund department A and I owe property management trading entity 10 million rands at the end of the financial year, but you do send me an invoice. I don't know I owe you 10 million rands. You put the 10 million rand in the books of the P&D department A owes you 10 million rands. I don't have it in my books because I never received an invoice for the trade. I'm going to surrender that 10 million rand to the state of New York. Because I'm not, because of the rules, I'm going to surrender my surplus. So the money is now back in position. If P&T is knocking on my door for the 10 million rand, I don't have it in. So it becomes a very difficult situation to deal with this outstanding getting the end of the day. And most probably, if you're able to clear the rules, there have to be a probably substantial rifles. Something that should be considered is for the PSCD to actually require the user departments to make upfront payments. That can be done with the agreement of national division. You will see that there's typical non-compliance findings on fruitless and wasteful expenditure, the irregular expenditure that I've discussed already with very important just to note also that the Department of Public Works is that because the department makes transfer payments in terms of the Division of Revenue Act, there's a requirement in the Division of Revenue Act and the Treasury regulations that the internal auditors of the department should execute certain internal orders on those transfer payments. And here it mainly relates to the expanded public works. then like to, there is one last item I want to add, one of the reasons of non-compliance, and that is that the property management trading entity currently operates on a hangover ground. And that is, of course, another ground in terms of the regulations. Now, why is it a bank overdraft? It's because of the debtor situation that I was led to. Property management trading entity must pay their land for it. But it's difficult in recovering this from the user part. And therefore, the situation of the bank overdraft. And that is something that needs to be focused on. I'm going to check the page 24 and 25, and then I'm just going to focus on the recommendations and the recommendations for the continuous. If you look at page 24, page 24, page 6.1 is the unauthorized expenditure. You will see there's 166 million of the prior year and 6 million of this year. That relates to the last year that the department got the request. But indicating he's not looking to manage the department and the professors might as unauthorized expenditure. If we look at goodness and wasteful expenditure at the paragraph 6.2, this is the goodness and wasteful expenditure of the various entities are highlighted there. And you'll see that for property management trading entity disclosed 15 million and 16 million and mainly as to expenses. Page 25, the investigation of expenditure and the notes on the discussion that in the table the heading futures and wasteful expenditure should be placed with the regular expenditure as well. This highlights the key regular expenditure incurred for the 2013 and 2014 plan. It's very important to understand if you look at the property management rating entity, you will see that it's got 6.2 billion debt for 2014. And earlier on in the presentation, I talked about the total inventory of 34 billion. Let me just explain that. So there was an opening balance of about 3.8 billion, and then we qualified it for many years to say it's not complete. Then the exercise was done to determine the year expenditure for that year, taking back 9-10, totaling 34 billion. Irregular expenditure incurred just for the 13-14 year losses provision. So the rest relates to the previous years. And if you look at the financial statements of the deposit, if you look at that disclosure note leading to the expenditure, you'll see that the disclosure note clearly indicates opening balance, irregular expenditure for this year, irregular expenditure identified in this year relating to the previous year. So it's properly articulated in the financial. We've highlighted all the various investigations which were conducted or are still being conducted at all the various entities that is covered on page 25 and 26. If I can ask you to focus on the recommendations, there are detailed recommendations in the documents at all the various places. Those recommendations are important for the entities to implement. That in their audit action plans, it's important for the committee to engage with the entities to ensure that they do in fact have it in their audit action plans and that they do practice. So on a high level, our recommendation to the committee is that all entities should have audit action plans, that those audit action plans should be tracked and that the committee from an oversight point of view would focus in the quarterly engagement with the entities to ensure that those work action plans are indeed implemented. Then very important for the PMDD implementation of proper systems. Proper systems will assist with asset management in renewable assets. Remember that there's 2 years left in assets are not pushing by even in terms of value. Focus on the IT work system, where is the system going, will the system be at some point in time, we cover all the necessary aspects that need to cover, and it's very important to successful implementation through the financial system. continuously monitor the actions taken by management. In the case of the property management strategy, for instance, and the department of public works, the department is doing a lot in terms of consequence management. However, there are many cases that need to be investigated. Therefore, continuous focus would be very important to ensure that all those cases are actually investigated and continued to develop their action. Focus on internal audit to make sure that internal audit focuses on the legislative required areas, but overall, one should not underestimate the importance of internal audit in all the requirements, in all the inputs. Internal audits achieve a internal audits on a continuous basis give feedback to management, to the audit committee, on whether key controls are in place. Because if those key controls are not in place, that's one ultimately gets negative force. Internal audits should focus on supply chains. Internal audits should focus on internal objectives. And then what I would like to do is that if you want to get a financial health point of view, you could see areas to do. The one issue is that in the case of the problems of public works is that there's underspending on the infrastructure development program. It's very important that departments spend in terms of the budget. The budget is linked to the strategic plan. If you don't spend it, your budget is linked to the strategic plan. You will not achieve your objectives. So it's very important to focus on that. I've already highlighted, which is one of the inputs to the committee, the impact of the bank overdraft in the case of the PMC. It's not good to have a bank overdraft, that bank overdraft needs to be dealt with. And then in the case of the IT, has got some challenges with its funding model. The IT was established many years ago. It then received, I think it was 2 billion rands in those days, which was to capitalize the IBT. But over the years, that money has been utilized in the expansion of the function of the IBT. Now, the IBT, although listed in terms of the PMA as a section 2 entity, the IBT does not have any founding legislation for instance. It was clearly established by the trustees. So it's very important to focus on the IBT in terms of what should the future funding level of the IBT be. If one look at the financial statements, one can see that the creditors term is getting, payment term is getting longer and longer and longer. Those are indications of financial constraints. The National Treasury made available 15 million rands, which was transferred to the department of the IBT as an interim measure. And on the longer term, the submission was to be found and was regarded as an IDT should be listed at some other place in the PFMA, because if your section give two entities to not get funding from Treasury and the regular time. Thank you very much. I'll conclude with that and have your
thank you for saying that, sir. Well, she's got a platform for our clients. And related to how to bring the opportunity to members for comments and questions about my work on my life programs in the so as we digest the input and gather our thoughts, are we ready for 10 minutes to take up on the assignment? Well, in 10 minutes, is very quick.
Yes. Thank you.